Welcome, everybody. Welcome to shareenjoyment.com to the late edition. This is the 10 p.m. share. Just an amazing Super Bowl. I had to share that with you. It's been an incredible, incredible game. So thank you all for joining us at this late hour. Tonight's share is on Parshas Tetzava. So there's a very interesting point that I want to share with you, a basic common decency that we learn from a very high source, and that is the Kohen Gadol. We say that there's Pamon V'Rimon, that the Kohen Gadol had to wear the me'il, and on the bottom of this garment was a pomegranate and little golden bells. And that would signify two things. A, to the people that, you know, the Kohen Gadol is filled with majesty, splendor, and aura. And second, there's on the other flip side of the coin, there's the announcement that the Kohen will now be in communion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that always sends a message of dread and fear and a lot of stress, because we all know that the Kohen Gadol, when he went into the Kachet Kachem, had to wear a string around his toes in case he didn't come out alive, if he did something improper, and Kohanim are judged very strictly. So it was a very tense moment. So this dual dichotomy, a parallel universe that the Kohen Gadol had to operate in. On the one hand, he had to be filled with a sense of splendor and, so to speak, ego. On the other hand, he was incredibly humble and just fearful, you know, presenting himself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is really the dichotomy that I saw in a sefer by Mordechai Miller, he put together. And it's interesting because the Gemara brings out that before a person enters a room, even within his own home, he has to announce his presence. And Rabbi Kiva instructed his son, Rabbi Yeshua, to do this. And the Rashbam comments on this, that even though you think it's your own home, and it is, the people living in your home deserve the common courtesy of being aware that you're there. So in the same way, we can learn from the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol had to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, aware of his presence. Not that Hashem didn't know where he was, but it was a sense of, hello, I'm about to do the Avoda now. And so the people, you know, obviously were made aware through these Pamon V'Rimon, as well as the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol's announcement to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was made aware. So if we have this obligation, if we can learn from the Kohen Gadol, then we can apply it to our basic lives. I think that this is this message of Pamon V'Rimon is a very powerful one. I'll share a parable through the Baal Shem Tov. There was an emperor who told the prince that he's going to visit his city. And so when the day arrived, the prince was, you know, adorned in his most beautiful garments and robes. And the people also came out to see the emperor. But the prince dressed so nicely that he resembled the emperor. And so every time that they applauded the emperor, they actually addressed the prince, because they couldn't tell because they were so far away from the rest of the people. And every time that the prince received the applause of the crowd, he felt more and more uncomfortable. And I think that the mashal nimshal from this story is that if somebody's living in his own chariot, and so to speak, he's given praise by other people, then he welcomes it. He enjoys it. He relishes it. However, if a person realizes that he's a subject of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the praise really belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not to the individual. And every single time the praise is given toward an individual and not to its rightful source, then that causes the individual to feel uncomfortable because it's really not due to him. We learned this from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the person who said, Anachi Afa V'Efer. And we learned this from Moshe and Aaron, who said, Ma Nu Machaseinu Matzikoseinu. You know, they're the ones who said, like, what are we? And unlike Nebuchadnezzar, said, like, I want to be like the gods of Most High. And he compared himself to a god. He practiced deification. So this idea that the Jewish people make themselves little is the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes us great. When we lower ourselves, we actually raise ourselves. And it's interesting also because the same parallel could be said about Shemitah, even though it doesn't really have much to do with this Parsha. But the only way to hold on to the land of Eretz Yisrael is to let it go once every 7 years. And right now, the people in Eretz Yisrael are practicing Shemitah. It takes tremendous Mesiras Nefesh to do this. And the same thing is true in this week's Parsha Tetzava. We learn a lot from the Kohen Gadol. And I think it's amazing that we can learn a basic tenet of common decency, knocking before entering a room, even one within your own home, to demonstrate that your children, your spouse, your parents, you don't own anything. You're just a custodian. And all we are custodians. We try to do our best to instill within our children, you know, the understanding, the mosahaskel, what they need, the ingredients for success in life. But after a number of years of living under our roof, after we've lived under our parents' roof, we've hopefully learned enough that we can be independent beacons of light unto others. And this, my friends, is yet another example of the timelessness of the Torah, the eternity of the Torah, to see within the majesty of the Kohen Gadol, how that relates to us in our own common day. And I will just close out with one final thought from Ramosha David Tendler, My Rebbe once said in Shir back in 1996, I believe, when Yaakov Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Titen li lechem lechol abega lobosh, v'shav tirshom abeis avi, v'chol asha titen li asar asrenu lach," that if you give me a little bit of food to eat, if you give me some clothing on my back, if you allow my children to come home, anything you give to me, I give it back to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was Yaakov Avinu really saying, and how could he make a neder? And what kind of language is this that we say that if you give me $1 million, I'll be sure to write a Maaser check for 100,000, 10%. Is this the way Yaakov talks? Chas v'shalom, Rabbi Tamla said, no, we really don't understand the pasuk at all. Let me explain, he said. Titen li lechem lechol, if you give me lechem, this refers to the lechem aponim. Allow my children to see the beauty and majesty of the lechem aponim, which remained fresh and hot for an entire week, and it was only changed Erev Shabbos. And that in itself is a miracle. Allow my children to witness a miracle, lechem aponim. Leave your bread out overnight. You'll see what it looks like in the morning. You'll see what it feels like in the morning. That's not the lechem aponim. In lechem, bega lobosh. The bega lobosh refers to the big day kahuna. Allow my children to see the majesty, the beauty of the big day kahuna. You know, we just watched the Super Bowl. Some of us were watching it. It really came down to the wire. And it's always every year that I give a share, and it's always 4 minutes into the fourth quarter. I'm always thinking to myself, why am I doing this? So now, thank God, I made a little bit of seichel, and I pushed it out by a minute or two or ten. But the idea is that the gadim that the players wear, whether it's baseball, football, or any other sport, that's their malchus. But if you compare their gadim to the big day kahuna, there's no parallel. The big day kahuna were beautiful, and even just by thinking about the pamon v'rimon, pomegranates and little golden bells, and the tunic and the crown and the tzitz and the ephod and the choshen and all the beautiful begadim that the kohen adorned himself with. Seeing that, you know, it's something that stays with you. It leaves an indelible imprint on your
Jerry,
mind. To let go of. And so that was Rabbi Tamla's
kiddush. You can't go there.
And that was
we know that.
So thank you so much all for joining, and have yourself a wonderful night. Take care.